come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Amen. As I was thinking about this week's readings in the context of last week's sermon and of this past week's events, I realized I had made an incorrect assumption. Last week I spoke about the importance of continually seeking God, of asking the question, where is God in this, as a spiritual discipline? I talked about the potentially world-transforming power of the practice of theological thinking, which would prioritize seeking God over seeking self-preservation and self-interest in our decisions. That hasn't changed. But in the process of making the argument, I said that it is easy to find God in the beautiful and the good and the true. But based on some conversations I've been having lately, I'm not sure if I'm right about that anymore. To say that it's easy to find God in the beautiful and the true and the good during these tumultuous days, it seems glib. It seems naive. It sounds like a platitude. And I hate platitudes. Platitudes are like band-aids. They don't heal the exhaustion and the worry and the feeling of helplessness in the face of an endless onslaught of bad and confusing news. There's actually a John Prine song that's been going through my head. The refrain begins, blow up your TV, throw away the paper. I can relate. Is it any wonder then that today's gospel had me rethinking part of what I said last week? This passage that we just heard is almost claustrophobic. The crowds are everywhere. Jesus moves and the crowds move with him, not just following him, but anticipating where he'll be next. It never seems to stop. The disciples are exhausted and overwhelmed. And Jesus says, come away to a deserted place and rest a while. Seriously, Jesus? Have you looked around? We can't even eat in peace. Well, Jesus knows that. He knows, but he gazes at the milling crowd and he had compassion on them like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. So Jesus doesn't follow his own advice to withdraw and rest. Instead, he takes a deep breath and plunges back in. Why? Why is the evangelist highlighting this tension between the need for rest and the demands and needs of a broken world? Why would he be doing that? Because that's our story. It's how we are living, some days more than others. But there's something we need to notice here. And it has to do with who God is. Jesus acts out of compassion. The Gospels refer to Jesus feeling compassion at least 8 times. And this is crucial. Compassion is not just a feel-good term indicating pity and sympathy. Pity and sympathy can be felt at a distance. Compassion is something done up close. It means to feel with in the gut. You can't mail in compassion. You have to put skin in the game. Jesus feels with his people. And it is this feeling with that manifests to us God's very identity. This incarnate one, Jesus, the Word made flesh, shows us that God is compassion. Come away. Rest a while. How does Jesus' compassion for the suffering mesh with this call to rest? How do we resolve the tension between rest and the needs and the concerns and the worries that crowd behind us and run ahead to meet us and demand that we fix, resist, heal, or listen right now? A God of compassion knows this. A God of compassion knows that we are exhausted and anxious. And a God of compassion simply asks that we remember something. God is God, and we are not. The world is desperately in need of healing in so many ways, but God knows that we are no good to anyone without rest and renewal, without Sabbath. Rest a while. God, who created and liberated, rests. And if God rests, how much more should we do the same? But I'm not talking as much about the importance of a Sabbath day, though that is the ideal minimum. I'm talking more about finding Sabbath spaces in a world that seems to be going bonkers. Walter Brueggemann, in his book Sabbath as Resistance, writes, quote, "That divine rest on the seventh day of creation has made clear, A, that Yahweh is not a workaholic, B, that Yahweh is not anxious about the full functioning of creation, and C, that the well-being of creation does not depend on endless work. God is God, and we are not." Our call to Sabbath is a call to remember who's in charge, and to remember that our efforts are only as good as our balance, our ability to pause and be present to God and what God has given us. That's what Sabbath is. Time to stop, to say that yes, there is work to be done. It will be there when we return to it, but for now, what I have is enough. I'm thankful right now. That's what a Sabbath moment looks like. Sabbath is not a platitude. Sabbath is the fourth commandment. And the key is to understand that work and rest are not separate entities. They go together. Think about it. God's first acts of creation were not separate from rest. They included it. What if our work included Sabbath in such a way that the two were deeply interconnected? Like when water is poured into a container of sand and flows into all those little gaps between the grains. A Sabbath mentality invites us to let Sabbath seep into the interstices, those tiny gaps of our work and our ministry, cooling the anxiety and softening the edges of cynicism and exhaustion. Interstitial Sabbath takes to heart Jesus' admonition that the Sabbath was made for God's children and not God's children for the Sabbath. An interstitial Sabbath state of mind opens our eyes to see God's hand in the world about us. It transforms platitude into healing balm and renews us for the work ahead. I don't think I'm telling you anything new. Honestly, it's really not a whole lot more than setting the concept of mindfulness in a theological context. The terminology isn't as important as is the practice of paying attention, whether it is to the feel and smell of working dirt in the garden, or the taste of a good meal, the sight of a work of art that gives you chills, or of the sound of a sublime piece of music. All of these are moments that invite us into sacred pause. This is enough. This is enough. I am thankful. Or as a wise person once said to me after we'd gone to a wonderful outdoor concert, it's things like this that remind you that the world doesn't suck. And that's the point. Our work and our ministry are important. The challenges of the world are urgent. But attending to them is useless if we don't have a deep understanding of why we do what we do, why we serve in the world. The beautiful, the good, and the true, these are all descriptors of the compassionate God who created us and calls us into work and renewal, work with renewal. The world needs us, yes. But the world needs us whole. I'd like to conclude with a prayer. It's by Ted Loader from his book, Guerrillas of Grace, Prayers for the Battle. Let us pray. O God of the miracles of galaxies and crocuses and children, I praise you now from the soul of the child within me, shy in my awe, delighted by my foolishness, stubborn in my wanting, persistent in my questioning, and bold in my asking you to help me unbury my talents for wonder and humor and gratitude, so that I may invest them eagerly in the recurring mysteries of spring and beginnings, of willows that weep, of rivers that flow, and people who grow in such endlessly amazing and often painful ways, that I will be forever linked and loyal to justice and joy, simplicity and humanity, Christ and his kingdom. Amen.